I am in Charlotte Willis's home, and we are going to tape an interview on quilting. My name is Joy Peterson, and this is tape interview number 4. Charlotte, is it all right with you if we tape our interview?
Certainly.
I wonder if for our records you would spell your name for us.
Last name?
The whole name.
C-H-A-R-L-O-T-T-E-W-I-L-L-I-S.
Thank you. And would you say what your address is and where we are?
Okay, 3725 Chevy Chase, Louisville, Kentucky.
And today is July 18th, and I have your permission to interview you. Are you married?
No. I'm divorced.
You're divorced. And are you, do you have an occupation? Are you employed outside your home?
No, I'm retired.
What was your occupation?
I worked for General Electric Company for 20 years in the research lab.
How long have you been retired?
Since 1980.
Mm-hmm. 3 years.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And how long have you lived here on Chevy Chase?
Uh-huh.
Are you from Louisville, Kentucky?
No.
Mm-mm. Where's your home?
Well, I've lived here since 57. Mm-hmm. I was born and grew up in Europe, and I lived in Illinois and in Kansas before coming to Kentucky.
Mm-hmm. Whereabouts in Europe?
East Germany, which is
yeah.
Now, of course, Russia.
Where did your parents live? Were your parents from Europe, East
oh,
Germany?
Oh, yes, yes,
mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And their occupation?
My father had a dairy and cheese factory in East Prussia.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And your father's name
was? Oh my goodness, you want that spell?
That would be good for the record.
His name was Otto, S-P-A-U-S-C-H-U-S, Spaucius, which is always a tongue twister, I guess.
Yes. What is your religious preference?
We're Protestants.
Do you mind telling us your age and when you were born?
No, I was born on February 1st, 1950.
1950? 15.
15.
Yeah, I didn't understand. I knew that math wouldn't work out. And what about your schooling? Where did you go to school?
I went to private schools in Europe. That's where I had all my schooling.
And what was your highest grade that you attained?
Equivalent of 2 years of college.
How old were you when you came to America?
I think 18.
Yeah.
Thereabouts.
Uh-huh. When did you learn to quilt?
Well, not until 1978. Of course, growing up in Europe, you do needlework. You learn when you're 6 years old to do knitting and, you know, every kind
mm-hmm.
of needlework. And I've always done sewing, but after my daughter was on her own, bought her own clothes, I took all kinds of adult education courses and dabbled in pottery and let's see, what else did I do? The stained glass. I didn't like to do. I like the product, but I don't like doing it. And finally, I took a course in quilting, and that was it. I just liked it and started the quilt that same year, finished it the year later, and have been quilting ever since. 5 years.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Really got involved in it and like it. Met very wonderful people through that. So it's been a good thing for me.
You have beautiful things around. I was wondering how old you were when you learned to quilt. We don't need that because we established it just 5 years ago. And you learned through your adult education courses.
Yes.
Initially.
Yes. Uh-huh.
And what quilts did you make when you were first learning? What was your first quilt?
Well, I tackled something I wouldn't do again. I did a whole applique quilt. It's the acorn and not the oak leaf and real. And I did it to go with my blue bedroom. So that was my first quilt. I think it had 30 blocks, and it was quite a challenge to do that applique. I think I read a piece in applique now, but at that time I didn't know that, I guess. So that was the first one I did.
Anyone else in your family quilt?
No.
You don't remember any men ever quilting?
No. Not even women.
Have there been periods since you started that you have not quilted?
Not really. Of course, while I was still working, I didn't have the time that I do now. Mm-hmm. But no, I would say I've quilted on something ever since.
Mm-hmm. How much time do you spend quilting?
You mean now? Sometimes 6 to 8 hours a day, would you believe?
Where do you quilt?
In here. Anywhere. I mean in the living room or in here.
And by in here we mean the study?
Yes.
Family.
Yes. Yes.
What time of day do you usually quilt?
Sometimes I quilt first thing in the morning before I even have coffee. And in the evening, too. Almost whenever. Almost any time.
How long do you quilt at a time?
Oh, 2-3 hours.
Where do you get your quilt designs?
Probably in books. In Quilters newsletters. Or if I see a pattern that appeals to me, like this bear paw. I've always wanted the bear paw. So I guess it's from books mostly.
Mm-hmm. I like bear paw. What patterns do you like to make the most?
Traditional, more than the contemporary. Some of them appeal to me, but I guess I'm old-fashioned. I like the traditional thing. And I think you can express yourself in those just as well as in the contemporaries by your choice of colors and quilting patterns. And I'm happy with the contemporary. I mean with the traditional.
Right. What do you think makes a good quilt?
Good design, good colors, and of course the quilting. Mine is not as good as the Amish ladies, but I strive to do it as well as I can.
Mm-hmm. Why do you make quilts?
Purely for the pleasure. I don't make them for covering or just for the joy of making. I love making.
And is that the same reason you originally made quilts?
Oh yes, yes, in my case. Yes.
And we're wondering which you prefer, piecing or applique or the actual quilting, and you said that piecing over applique.
piecing over applique, but I also like the quilt. I think that sort of goes together. I like doing both of them. And I will applique if it's called for.
Have you ever attended a quilting bee or a quilting party?
I belong to a group that is not organized. They're just a bunch of friends that get together. And I guess you would call that a quilting bee. We do this twice a month.
Is this Tuesday's Girls?
Yes, that is.
Would you like to tell us how Tuesday's Girls started and what the background is of it?
I would love to tell you how I got into it. I saw an ad in Quilter's Newsletter of a lady that said she would like to meet some quilters in Louisville. So I answered this ad, and I don't know if you knew Marion Godfrey.
Very well.
Okay, that was Marion.
Mm-hmm.
And she got my letter, and she called me when she moved here, and she invited me to join her and some ladies that were newcomers club that also quilted. I went to her house and we quilted. Now, at that time I was still working and they quilted in the morning, so I couldn't go to their regular meeting. Well, it was maybe 2 years later. I ran into Marion at Locust Grove where they had a quilt exhibit. And she said, I told her I was no longer working, and she told me of this group of students of hers that met at the Presbyterian Church in Anchorage, and she invited me to join them, which I did, and this turned out the Tuesday Girls. And they're just wonderful ladies with so many talents. I just really enjoy being. That's how I got to be a Tuesday Girl. I was not one of her original students, but not all of them are.
Mm-hmm. I've interviewed other ones, but I've never heard about the item in the Quilter's Newsletter. That's a new wrinkle.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Well, that's...
We'd all come through being students.
Right.
That
right.
That's interesting. And you're not meeting every Tuesday. You're meeting just twice.
Twice a month, yes.
I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm. And right now we're meeting at a cabin on the river every second Tuesday that belongs to one of the quilters.
Which one?
Mary Lucas, you probably know her.
Right, through Nimble Films.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. For the sake of our discussion, we're wondering if you think there's a difference between a quilting bee and a quilting party.
Probably.
What
I would say a quilting bee is really organized, where you have set up a certain project that you're going to work on and try to complete as much as you could. I think a quilting party is probably just a bunch of ladies quilting together.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
What is it like to quilt with a group?
I enjoy it because you share. I think that is the biggest thing about it, sharing. Patterns, ideas, new things you learn. I think it's really the thing I like the best. You will have a purr on here. Right?
We have a cat joining us. Yes. Yes. What is it like, or no, what is a Kentucky quilt?
Well, I would say it's something that has at some time or other been made in Kentucky,
mm-hmm.
for one thing. I don't know if there are any other features that you would, that would definitely call it the Kentucky quilt.
Well, the researchers have asked us to ask that, and
mm-hmm.
I don't know what their thought is. I agree with you. That's my thinking
yes.
also. Have you ever taught anyone to quilt?
Yes, I've taught members of the family to do little quilting on pillows, but nobody has ever really gone into making a quilt. They do small things.
Mm-hmm. When you taught someone to quilt, what patterns did you use?
Something very simple like shoe fly. Oh, you mean the piecing or the actual quilting?
The piecing.
Something simple,
mm-hmm.
I would say.
Mm-hmm. What did the person want to do with the quilt?
Make things for their home.
Do you enjoy teaching quilting?
Not as much as I do quilting for my.
Do you have any quilt books?
Oh yes, many.
What are your favorite?
I have a, well, there is a book by Margaret Ickes, is it maybe?
I-C-K-E-S?
Yes. It's very basic and was the first book that my teacher at Seneca suggested. And I thought at that time it was very helpful.
It's a book of basic patterns.
Yes, and basic methods.
Yes, how to put a quilt
right,
in a frame.
Right, right, right.
It's kind of a paperback.
Yes, it's quite thick,
yeah.
though. And it covers, it's a very good book for beginners, I think. But I buy almost anything that I just came back from Ohio, and I bought this book, which is called It's Okay If You Sit on My Quilt, and I found it has so many things that are interesting and new to me.
Let's tell the name of
the author, Mary Ellen Hopkins. It's a yours truly publication, but anything that is different from just, you know, so many books cover the same thing.
Yes.
Well, this is different. I bought a book on Amish quilts, which I think are beautiful. And I admire what those ladies do with no more, well, they have no training, no art training, I don't think, but yet they have the eye for these things. I really like that book.
You got this when you were up in the Amish community in Berlin, Ohio?
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it's Millersburg, Ohio.
Which is just a few miles from there. I also went shopping into a general store, and it was full of Amish ladies shopping for fabrics. And I brought back a bunch of solids that I thought were really good in color.
Is this up near Akron?
No, it's closer, it's not too far from Columbus.
Oh, mm-hmm.
Maybe 80. Oh, you would. I think a group should go out there.
Let's do it.
I think it'd be fun.
We'll talk to the Nimbles and get a group.
Right.
I would love to go.
Right.
Well, while we're talking about it, tell me some of what you were saying before we started the tape recorder, because I think it was interesting. You went up there and you went in and people were
quilting. It's like a huge store with fabrics, more fabrics for quilting than I've seen anywhere. Patterns, quilting patterns, and all the supplies you could all the tools you could think of. And then there's this huge room in which they had three quilting frames. And one was big enough to accommodate a king-size quilt without rolling it up. It was, you know, totally stretched. And one of the frames, these eight Amish ladies, four on each side, were quilting. And they were visiting as busily as they were quilting. And the quilts were marked. And many of the quilts they had for sale had been done by them, quilted by them, but I don't think they were pieced by them. If they were, it was not an Amish quilt. I mean, they were traditional things. But they had a stack of Amish wall hangings that were just fantastic. Price was good, too, about $40.
Really?
Mm-hmm. They were about the size of my card table.
Really? Oh, well, then you were tempted.
Yes, yes.
Was all the fabric 100% cotton?
Not in the store that the Amish ladies were buying. Do you remember, were you at the seminar at Frankfurt where the lady talked about Amish quilts? The lady from Missouri?
Yes. Was that Frankfurt? Was that Lexington?
It was.
In September?
It was a Campbellsville Inn, I think.
Camel House.
Yeah.
In Lexington.
Is it Lexington?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Okay. She said that the Amish ladies, the Amish communities, buy end bolts and sell them then in their store. And they are not that concerned with 100% cotton. In fact, this lady also said if you really get hung up on a piece of fabric that isn't 100% cotton, buy it.
You mean by this lady, you mean Mary Ellen Hopkins,
yes,
the one
yes,
that wrote the
right.
It's Okay to Sit
right.
on my quilt?
Right.
She also wrote the book, this Mary Ellen Hopkins wrote the book on Double Wedding Ring, didn't she, that Midge shows out at American Accent?
Oh, I have that book.
I have that book, too, and I was thinking it was the same woman.
Good luck.
Yeah.
She's sort of unorthodox.
Very. Is it the same woman?
Mary Ellen Engel Hopkins.
This is Mary Ellen Hopkins.
Well?
Mary Ellen Engel. Oh, good. Good. Yeah. I wrote to her when I needed a particular fabric.
Oh.
And she wrote back a very freehand, newsy note that made it sounded like she was a next-door neighbor. And I didn't know her at all. It's just
yes.
that I'd been told she might have the fabric I wanted. Yes, this is the woman.
Mm-hmm. Well, she does not baste her quilts. She pins them with hundreds of safety pins. And she also binds her quilt before she quilts it.
Right, right. Because I did her double wedding ring, and I did it that way. And
did it work out?
Oh, it was just a wall hanging
mm-hmm.
for over the mantle, and it... It wasn't as nice work when I finished as I think I would have liked for it to have been.
Did you do it with Pat Scovel?
No, I did it on my own.
I see.
And I did it from that book.
Yes.
And I feel like I would prefer to put a little bit more effort and energy into finishing up the way I would want to finish.
I would too.
Well, I'm going to get us back to this. These interview questions. We talked about quilt books, and I'm wondering what you feel about quilt magazines, which ones you have, and why you prefer one over another.
I think I like Quilters Newsletter the best. I have a regular subscription to that. But I also buy
Ladies Circle Patchwork.
Right. Whenever that comes out, I buy that off of the stand. And I buy the one that's called Quilt World. I think I do prefer the first two I mentioned. Mm-hmm.
Do you take patterns from them?
Sometimes.
And do you follow the patterns exactly?
No. I may for the piecing, the templates, but from there I use my own ideas.
Mm-hmm. What do you do with your finished quilts?
Well, I've given several away. I would never sell one. I would give it away before I would sell. And I have most of the ones that I've done.
And if you give them to other people, who would these people be and why?
I gave one to my sister because I love her. And I gave one to my sister-in-law who really, even though she doesn't do any kind of handwork, appreciates all handwork. And then I've made some smaller ones, like for my granddaughter, things like that.
When did you start quilting for others?
Well, they sort of came in between. I mean, I never, and I don't think I made any with the intention of giving it to a certain person. I haven't. I would hate to make a quilt where somebody would say, I want this pattern and I want this color. That would take all the fun out of it as far as I'm concerned.
What do you do with old quilts when they begin to wear out?
Well, I have no old quilts because I haven't quilted that long. I've bought several and I just leave them. I just treasure them and keep them.
Have you had any quilts in shows?
Yes.
And would you tell us about those and what the show was and how you came out as far as it being a contest?
Okay. Let's see, that was last. Right after Christmas, that would have been 1981, we've had dreary weather and I wanted to do something that was fun. And I did a sampler quilt, which is in roses and bright blues. And I worked on it with the Tuesday Girl group at the meeting. And Mary Jewett, I don't know if you know her, said you will have to enter that in the Kentucky Heritage
contest. One at Locust Grove?
Right. Mm-hmm. And I said, oh no, I'm not going to do that. I didn't make it to go into the contest. I only did it because I wanted something fun to work on. And they kept telling me you have to enter it. Well, I started it right after Christmas. And I think it had to be done by March. March, end of March, because I think the contest was the first part of April. Or I had to sign the paper that I wanted to enter it, the entry line. So, well, here's another name I'm going to mention, Pat Scoville, who was also making one for that. And I said, Pat, there's so many things wrong with this quilt. And she said, don't tell anybody. She says, one never talks about those things. Well, I did enter it, and it got second prize, which totally surprised me. So that was one, and then I did a baby quilt. Oh, I forgot about that. It was done all in little rosebud prints and pastels and lavenders and pinks and blues. And I entered that in Midge,
American Accent,
yes,
Small
baby,
Wonders.
Yes, yes. And it got second prize. That was,
and that was like September of 82.
Yes, mm-hmm. It was. And
did you get a prize?
I got second on that. And that was Grandmother's Fan, which worked well with, I used ribbons and lots of embroidery and lace, and it was a very dainty thing. And I sold that because I made it. I had no one to give it to. We had no babies. I even forgot about that.
You sold it through the store?
No. Star Kaiser wanted it. She said, I don't have a grandchild, but I know I'm going to have one one day. Could I have it? I said, sure. So that's the only one I ever sold, and I had forgotten.
Now, have you had any other quilts in contest?
No. This one. Let me tell you about this one. This is a what we call a selfish quilt. One of our quilting friends, the Tuesday Quilt, said, you know, this idea of making a block for somebody when
I to tape one. Interview number 4 for Joy Peterson with interviewee Charlotte Willis, and we're talking about an idea of making a quilt, even though you're not leaving a community, a Tuesday's Girls idea. So we'll pick up on that discussion.
She said, do you think it would be very selfish if we did this for ourselves, for our group? Everyone thought it was a wonderful idea. So we drew numbers, and I was number 2. And I decided on the bear paw. So 15 of these 30 blocks were made for me by the Tuesday Girls. The rest, of course, I had to make myself. And the fabrics are, some were given to me, and there, somewhere in there is a sugar sack from, do you remember?
Oh,
World
yes,
War.
Yes.
Okay.
Feed sex.
Feed
our
sex.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
There's one in there. This one was my first, were my first kitchen curtains in this house, and the floor was green and the walls were yellow, and I'm not a green and yellow person, but these were my curtains. There is one in there. I don't know where it is. That was from a jumper when my daughter was pregnant with her second baby. There's one in there. I cut the sleeves off of my son-in-law's long-sleeved shirt. And so it has all kinds of...
Well, does the person who's going to receive the quilt give all the fabric out?
Not necessarily. We made one for one of our members who just gave us a muslin square, and she wanted the sunbonnet girl, and she said, do anything you like. Use any fabric, any color, anything.
And who was that?
Marcia Pence.
Marcia Pence.
Mm-hmm.
Well, who got number 1?
Mary Lucas, who...
Oh, did that ever get finished?
No.
She had one of the squares.
No.
Was...
Well, she, I think she made the block finally. She had enough material. But she has not put it together or quilted it yet.
It was beautiful.
That was Lancaster Rose, I think, was hers. Some are appliqué. We had one member that moved to Boston. Do you remember Ruth Jensen?
I don't know the name.
Okay. Well, she moved to Boston and told us in November. And we decided we would put her number into the next sequence and made a block for her. She chose, within 2 weeks she had chosen her pattern. It was a sampler. And her fabrics, had cut them out, and we each made a block for her. Some of them even mailed it to her. Last week I got a picture of the finished quilt.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Really? Was that last November that she...
Yes, she moved, I think, she moved right after Christmas because the first meeting we had in January, we were at her house and she moved right after that.
How many selfish quilts has the group finished now?
I think this is the only one that's totally finished.
Uh-huh. Whose are you on now?
Oh, we're on 7 or 8. Right now, I have the Ohio Star that I just finished a block.
Who's it for?
That is for Betty Hawks. She is not a nimble thimble. But I did one for Muriel Trowbridge, which is a Dresden play that I still have here. I will give her tomorrow. And we're doing a Storm at Sea for Mary Jewel, which I'm working on today too. So I think we're on 7 or 8.
Well, did Mary Jewett actually select the fabric and cut it out?
Yes. That's what we do mostly, except for Marcia, who, you know, chose something, to do something different. We usually, especially if you want to coordinate. But on this, of course, I didn't.
Right. That's the beauty of this.
Yes.
Have you ever entered a quilt in the contest in Madison, Indiana?
No, but my quilts were in Barbara Lewis's, what do they call that? They have an annual, it's sponsored by sorority.
Up there in Madison?
Yes.
Was there one of yours up there with candle wicking?
Yes, the candle wicking and the sampler.
The sampler, they one with the bird.
Right. They were both in.
Oh, that. Tell us a little bit about the candle wicking. Well, I thought that was exquisite.
The candle wicking, you know, it's an old craft that is, again, picked up or has become popular. And I like the soft look of the white on white or muslin, whatever you call
cream
it.
Cream on cream.
Yes.
Or ivory on ivory.
Right. And so I did the blocks. I got patterns everywhere I could find them to go on that size block. And I was too short. And I copied them right off of my bedroom wallpaper, which was exactly the right size. So two of the blocks are off of that wallpaper. And then I put them together with a coarse lace, and then I quilted it. I love it because it's the softest.
Oh, it's beautiful.
Thing. I like it.
Mm-hmm. Did it win a prize?
I never had it in the contest.
Well, I voted for it for viewer's choice.
Yes,
I thought maybe
right.
It got a viewer's choice.
No, I don't remember what. Oh, Margie's, I think, got
the. The one that was hung behind that looked like an old-fashioned applique quilt. Maybe it got.
Oh, maybe that did.
Yeah, I'd heard. Mm-hmm. Now that I think about it, that may have. In your opinion, has there been any change in people's attitudes about quilting?
Oh, definitely. I think we are now recognizing that this was something women did that was important, which was totally overlooked before. It was just a cover that kept you warm. Nobody, I don't think people thought much about what it took to make these beautiful designs. And I think we're recognizing it. It's just like some of the other older things that we now treasure and fill our homes with.
What is the value of quilting?
You mean in money or? I think it has different value with different people. To me, it's something that makes me feel good just to do it. And I have no artistic talent. I don't. But I can express myself in that, and quilting, by my choice of colors maybe, or the choice of design, or how I put it together. But I can't draw, I can't paint. So,
well, I'm not supposed to put opinions on the tape, but I have to say that the most artistic thing I've seen in a long time is your bride's quilt up there in Madison, Indiana.
Oh.
That was that was a real statement of art. I thought that was beautiful.
Well, I have a son that is an art major. He was a design major. And he's very critical, which I appreciate. When he saw my quilt, he said, "Mom, that really looks good." And from him, that is high praise.
Well, I thought it really looked good, too. And all the people that I was with. What are your favorite colors to use and why?
Blue. In fact, some of the Tuesday girls say, "If it's blue, Charlotte will like it." Why do I like blue the best? I like shades of red, too, if they're soft, or burgundies and, you know,
rose.
Those. Yes, rose.
Like your scent.
Right, yeah. Right. They make me feel good. I like, would you believe, light to come to my house, it makes me feel good. And if you look around, it's mostly blue and some red. Right,
mm-hmm.
Right. I don't know why.
Mm-hmm. Do you use a floor frame or a hoop or both? Or?
I use both. I have a really good floor frame that was bought for me in Illinois from an old farm in Knox. It's a good one. And I use that occasionally. I feel it limits me and I can't take my quilt with me to work on. I use an oval hoop on a stand. That's my favorite because even when it's warm, you are not holding the whole quilt on your lap. I do like that.
Then you do baste it, rather.
I baste it.
What would you say your grid of basting is? 4 inches apart, 8 inches apart, 12 inches apart?
I would say almost that much, which I think is 12 inches.
How have the materials used in quilting changed?
Well, if you think of even maybe 10 years ago, everything was polyester. I think when the quilting became, popular, when we went back to appreciating the quilting, we went back to carpets. And I think that must have been an experience for the industry, the demand for cotton. And I think that's the biggest change, is that we went back to cottons and woolen. Would you like to? I went to Ireland last year, and they had talked so much about Irish quilts. Well, we went from one end of Ireland to the other one, stayed in many different places. I never saw the quilt on any bed.
Really?
And the only thing that I found were two quilts that were made out of woolens. They were appliques. I took pictures of them, brought them back. And just what they had on the beds were Kmart knits, polyester. Ugly! So I didn't see any Irish quilts.
I'm surprised.
I am too.
What makes a good quilt stitch and why?
I don't know, you mean
would you say that the quilt stitch should be
well, it should be for instance, I mean, for one thing, it should be even if you can't accomplish the 10 or 12 or whatever stitches per inch. I think that is the main thing, that it is uniform as far as I'm concerned. And you find that in this, I have so many different fabrics. Some are heavier, and it's awfully hard to make a very small stitch. But I think they should be uniform.
What kind of batting do you use?
My favorite is Mountain Mist. has a Fairfield batting, which I just happen to have, and you see what it does to the black.
The Bearding?
Yes.
Have you tried the Cotton Classic that they put out?
No.
It's supposed to keep the, yes, it's supposed to keep the bearding down because the polyester is what's bearding through.
I see. Well, I have a bath of it downstairs. I haven't used it.
Jenny Byer taught us to wash it first, which I thought was heresy, but I've done it and I'm not unhappy about it. It means that you are very careful and you just put it in your wash machine and don't let it agitate. But you do put it in the dryer, and I could tell you about it if you were interested.
Yes.
But at any rate, it takes some of the bonding off of the
mm-hmm.
surface so
mm-hmm.
that it's easier to get the needle
mm-hmm.
through.
Mm-hmm.
If you ever embroider on your quilts, do you use cross-stitch, crewel, or another type?
You mean like your name?
Well, that could be your name, or it could be like that candle working.
I haven't done any cross.
What about that quilt that you made, that square you made for Marion Godfrey's quilt? Did you do some embroidery on that? There was a little cat on a rug, as I recall.
Yes, Marion. I had made a block like that for something for myself. And Marion said, rather than follow the pattern that she had bought, would I make her one like that? And it was applique you do the cat's ears and the whiskers with just little embroidery stitch.
Mm-hmm.
I can do most any kind of embroidery because that's what we learned when we
mm-hmm.
were before I ever quilted.
Did you know how to do candle wicking before this new craze came out?
Well, actually, it's a French knot. It's a variation of the French knot, and of course
mm-hmm.
you know how to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I would say yes. And my quilt has a lot of satin stitch and things like that on it, too, which add to it, I
mm-hmm.
think.
Oh, definitely. Do you sign your quilts?
Yes.
And if so, how do you sign them and why do you sign them?
I think probably because we've been told, be sure you put your name on anything you do. And I did that even before I did quilting. Like, I have some samplers that are counted cross-stitch. I always sign them. Sometimes it says C. Willis, sometimes it has my whole name. And always the year.
The date.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. What is your favorite quilt pattern?
You mean
actually the quilting, not the piecing.
No, I don't think I have a favorite. I think you use whatever goes with your quilt pattern.
Mm-hmm. If you had an open space here, would you be inclined to put around one of those wreath type?
I have done that on some. I'm working on one now that has a 14-inch plain block. And I have not found something that I quilted one of them with a feather wreath. I'm going to take it out again. I don't like it. It somehow doesn't
complement
right.
The rest
no,
of the quilt.
No, I don't think it does.
Mm-hmm.
I can show it to you after.
All right. You belong to any quilters organizations?
Yes, I do. I belong to the Kentucky Heritage and the Nimble Thimble.
Do you own any older quilts?
I went to an auction in Illinois, and on a fence, this was outside, there was an old quilt, and I liked some of the colors in it. And I bought it for very little money, I think $5 or something like that. It was a tight quilt. I t- took it home. I was visiting with my sister. I took it to her house and I cut the tight places. Inside I found another quilt. And apparently the quilt had been so worn that in places that they just covered it with a new piece. And I opened that, and inside of that was still another quilt. And that was very, very shabby. And the one way on the inside had been quilted. The other two were just tied. And I brought it home, and I did what Katie would really frown on. I took the pieces apart. I took the layer that I like, and I quilted it. And it's on the table in there. But it is all
the inner layer?
No, the inner layer was shot. It was
the middle layer.
Yes, yes. The inner layer, the one that was, I have a piece of it here. This was the only piece I rescued. See, it was beyond repair.
This old fabric.
Yes.
Oh,
now that was the very inner layer.
That was
layer.
The original.
Right, which they had covered with.
Had they machine stitched it?
It looks like it, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. The fabrics are so old, I'd be curious for Katie to tell us how old.
She had seen it. I took it to Nimble Thimble's one time.
She can date fabric.
Yes, she can. Mm-hmm. But anyway, that is the only piece that everything else was just in shreds.
Mm-hmm.
But it was still in there. So I saved that.
That's nice. One thing we didn't touch on, and I think we should have in your biography, was if you have any children.
Mm-hmm. I have a son and a daughter. Both of them are married.
They live.
My son lives here in Louisville. My daughter is in Ohio at Muskingum College. I mean, that's who they work for, at New Concord, which is a little bitty town.
That's where you went to visit
yes.
for this,
yes.
when you got the treat of seeing the Amish
yes.
ladies.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. We have a little bit more tape on there, evidently, and I finished the questions we're asked to ask. You. Do you have other things that you might want to add that would go on the tape about your quilting experience?
Well, let me think. Oh, well, I can tell you one thing. I had been in Illinois staying with my sister who was ill, and I believe she was even in the hospital. It was a hard 2 weeks. And I came back, and when I crossed the river, all of a sudden, I knew I was a quilter, but I knew I was a Kentucky quilter. When I got across the bridge and was back in Louisville, I decided I was a Kentucky quilter. I knew I was a quilter because that's how I spend so much of my time. And then I decided to make a Kentucky wall hanger, which I did. I made the cardinal. I sort of copied him from a picture. And then I showed him to my son, and he said, "What's the matter with that cardinal? Is his tail broke?" And he didn't like my pine cone. He said it looked like a bunch of grapes. So he drew them again for me. The bottom one is Pat Scoville's Kentucky Rose. And the one in the middle is a covered bridge. But that's when I decided
you
to
made
make
that
it.
This spring?
Yes, mm-hmm. yes.
I saw it at Jenny Byers' workshop.
Oh, yes. I forgot mm-hmm. it was mm-hmm. there.
And you made that after you came back from Illinois?
Yes, when mm-hmm. I decided I was a Kentucky.
That's great.
And I also made, I made a primitive, which I thought was kind of fun.
Oh, will you describe this for our tape?
Okay, it's just, I think it is a regular pattern. I don't know who puts it out, but I used my colors, of course, which are the roses and the burgundies, and I used the green in here instead of the blue, and of course it has a black cap on it, and I quilted the roof. I reverse appliqued the windows, and I think I did a very poor job on it, but they say an old house can get by with crooked windows. See, my Tuesday girlfriends are so supportive. They tell you, oh, it's all right, you know, it looks okay.
Oh, I think it's dear. It's got home sweet home.
Right,
here.
Right.
That is nice. You made that this spring?
I made that a couple of weeks ago.
How long does it take you to make something like that?
Oh, I can get them out in a week. But you have to remember, I don't have to cook for anybody, or I love staying home. Sometimes I don't go anywhere except the grocery for 2 weeks. I just like being at home.
Oh, this has been such a treat. I really thank you for sharing all of your ideas and memories and information with us.
Well, it was fun.
It's been very valuable. Thank you so much.